kommt weg.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come together in these moments and pray and bless and ask your presence with us as we might become good soil in our own hearts. Thank you for this time together and encounter each of us now where we need to feel your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is, I believe, a remarkable thing. Faith. Faith is remarkable because how and when and why it occurs in our lives is often surprising. It is occasionally frustrating, and many times it can be downright unnerving. While our stories, our lives, and our experiences are indeed unique, different, we share a common journey of faith that is punctuated with moments of profound encounter with God. It is in these moments that our faith is tangible, rich, and alive. Tradition alludes to these moments with various images. We use images like being lost, and then you're found. Or you were blind, but now you have sight. You were asleep, but now you are awake. That you were dead, and now you are alive. Each image expresses a newness and awareness that something has dramatically changed, and we call this moments of faith. Take a moment in your own lives right now and consider an encounter that you have had with God. What was that experience like for you? Where were you when you felt this palpably in your life? When in your journey of life did this happen, and what was going on with you at that time? Now, Jesus speaks a word to us today that is both hopeful and, dare I say, challenging. It is hopeful in its witness, because it reminds us of the lavishness of God's grace and love, but it is also challenging because it reminds us that sin and brokenness that accompanies our world is also so palpable in our lives. Jesus today tells us about how difficult it can be in our lives to receive God's encounter and remain open to being changed by God. And Jesus uses the simple image of soil, a metaphor for how we might be open to God's encounter, how you might be open to God's change in your life. And the challenge of the parable today is that we are reminded yet again that it is often happens our availability to God's encounter is burdened. At times, we can be hardened to an encounter with God and unable to even recognize the seeds of grace that are in our midst. This can happen to me, and I don't know about you, but this happens to me when things are either going really well or when they are very difficult. You know what I'm saying? Try as I might to be humble and thankful at good times, there's a part of me, and maybe you can understand this, there's a part of me that desperately wants to believe that I am in control and I did it. That I have achieved whatever peace and tranquility and prosperity on my own. That I am, Dave Young, the master of my own universe, as long as Heidi says so. You know what that feeling's like? That you are the master of your own universe. That you got it all under control. And you know, in those moments, I can be hardened. Hardened to God. Yet at the same time, when the proverbial poop hits the fan, in my life, I can become hardened and bitter towards God too. spiritually distancing myself from God and from others who I paint as the cause of my suffering. This started when I was a young boy and whenever the Redskins would lose to the Cowboys, which was often, Doug, I would blame the Lord and say, God hates us. It started then, but it would continue in my life. Whenever the team I would play for would lose, or some girl would break up with me, or whatever bad thing happened in my life, it was God's fault. And I would become hardened to the work of God's encounter. Now, thankfully, I have not been that successful in my life, nor have I had that kind of tragedy. So I've never fully become hardened toward God. But this tendency, I don't know about you, but I often feel like I'm back at square one in my life and faith. Now, at other times, our lives can become so burdened by other concerns that the ability for an encounter with God is choked away, as our scripture tells us. You know, you faithfully worship, you pray, you study, you serve, you take on all the trappings of faithfulness, but it is the responsibilities of the home or at school or at work that become so burdensome. And suddenly time with God takes the back seat to the everyday concerns of our lives. Suddenly you wake up one morning and you realize that you only have so much time, so much energy, and we direct our energies away from God towards those things that we have to do. It pains me to admit this, but it is often easier for me to be about the business of being a pastor. It's easier to put my time and energy on being a religious professional than it is in taking time to be a lover of God. And if that's true for me, I'm sure that it's true for you. Graciously, thankfully, prayerfully, we also have moments of being good soil when we are our best selves and our most faithful disciple people of Jesus. And make no mistake, living as a faithful disciple of Jesus will be the most difficult thing that you do in your life. Being a follower of Jesus will be more difficult than being a parent, than being a spouse, than being a child, than being whatever it is that you do in your profession. Being a disciple of Jesus will be the most difficult thing you will ever do. It will challenge every single part of your life. In fact, brothers and sisters, it will change your life. I once read a book by Pastor Frank Honeycutt that maintains that in our lives of faith, we must work toward greater faith maturity. He suggests that Christians, particularly Lutheran Christians, we have a tendency to have the grace and the forgiveness part down pat. We're really good at grace and forgiveness, but where we are challenged is that we don't often like to talk about growing in faith, lest we start talking about works too much. And it's a shame, he says, because too often in our lives we settle for less than good soil in our lives of faith. He contends that that is true. We cannot work towards salvation. We can't do that. There's nothing we can do. God's gift is grace. But we can work towards greater Christian maturity. In effect, what we can do is we can work toward being hardened path or rocky or weedy soil and work toward being good soil. And that is spiritual growth. In our best efforts, in spite of all the best efforts that we make to become good soil, you will still be a hardened path from time to time. You will still be rocky soil, and you will at times be weedy. No work on our part will change this great truth. Still, it is truly amazing to me that despite whether you are a hardened path or you are rocky soil or you are weedy soil or you happen to be good soil, that it doesn't matter. The sower does what? The sower just keeps sowing. Sower just keeps sowing. Despite knowing that you aren't even good soil. You're a hardened path right there, Charlie. You're a hardened path. But he keeps sowing. If anything tells us about our God, the sower, it is this unreasonable extravagance. The sower knows only what? The sower knows only to sow. The sower does not look to see if you are ready, willing, or able to receive. The sower just keeps sowing. And what incredible grace that is for you and for me. God doesn't just wait for you to be good soil. God doesn't wait for you to show love to show his own love. God doesn't wait for you to forgive to shower you with forgiveness. God doesn't wait for you to be faithful to show faith and fidelity with you. The sower just keeps sowing love and grace and immeasurable hope. Hope that your hearts and your souls and your minds will become good soil. For you see, when God's ongoing sowing finds good soil in you, not only is your life changed, but the lives of others are changed. When in your good soil moments, you love and serve another unconditionally, the Word of God has taken hold. And it starts bearing fruit, people. When in your good soil moments, you forgive and reconcile with another person, guess what? The Word of God has taken hold and it starts to bear fruit. When in your good soil moments that you execute justice on behalf of the voiceless and the powerless, the Word of God takes hold and it starts bearing fruit. When in your good soil moments you are hope for the hopeless, that you are balm for the broken, that you are comfort for the fearful, and a healer for the suffering, the Word of God has taken hold in this world and it begins to bear fruit because the sower just keeps on sowing. It is true that you and I can be hardened paths, rocky soil, and overcome by weeds. But never doubt, brothers and sisters, that you can also be and are good soil. Good soil nourished through the living water of your baptism. Every single day, indeed every single moment of your life is ripe for you to be good soil, because no matter what, God keeps sowing. You may be hardened in the morning, rocky by noon, and weedy in the evening, but God will keep sowing. You may be hardened in high school, and then rocky in college, and weedy when you're making money in your first job. But guess what? God keeps sowing. You may be hardened by your work of the day. You may be rocky at home. You may be weedy with your friends, but God keeps sowing. And here's the incredible grace. No matter how hard and hardened you think you may be, no matter how rocky you may think you are, no matter how weedy you're going to be next week, you are always ripe to be good soil. And the good news for you and me is this: God, the beloved sower, will never stop sowing. In Jesus' name, amen.